I'm Disney historian Jim Corcus, and when I'm not writing my next book, I'm listening to the Disney Parks Podcast, and so should you.
Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times, and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Well, we were very excited. We have a very new aquatic play area opening up at Disney's Port Orleans Resort French Quarter. You know, just in time for the warm days of summer, there's a brand new space at Port Orleans, easy for me to say, French Quarter, that's just for the little ones who like to splash around and stay cool. So decked out in the bold hues of the Mardi Gras gold, purple, and green, this new play area lets guests 48 inches and under enjoy water slides that are just their size and to play with water cannons and splish splash around among fountains. Now, this new area is located next to the whimsical Doubloon Lagoon Pool, so you and your little ones can easily go back and forth between these two water-filled spots while still staying at the resort. If you're looking for more ways to explore Walt Disney World Resort with your kids, you can go to disneyworld.com/littleones. This is great. I love that the resorts are starting to add, you know, more water features. Maybe not as excited because it's just for little ones, but like what they did over the Grand Floridian with the Mad Hatter thing was pretty cool.
Yeah, that dump hat is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like a deluge.
I wish they would make adult size things.
They should make an adult kids play area.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be a lot of fun.
I think they call that Blizzard Beach.
Probably, but they charge extra money for that, so that's a little disappointing.
That's true. What would they put, though? A big, like a good adult
water slide. A big water slide, a wave pool.
Yes.
You know, a big giant slide. You know, basically Typhoon Lagoon. No, I think, you know what I think Disney really needs is a lazy river. There's not a resort.
Yeah, there's not a resort.
Well, they have one across over at Beach Club. That is kind of
that's exclusive,
right? But again,
that's for the elite exclusive,
right? That's right. Do you have any Grey Poupon?
Yeah,
what do you need Grey Poupon? You're in a pool.
Hey, John, do you like ice cream?
I love ice cream. I scream for ice cream.
Do you scream for ice cream?
I scream for ice cream.
I think if we screamed here, we might be able to get some. We are in the right place for the ice cream.
We are actually. We're in the boardwalk, so maybe we can.
I think we kind of spoke about this that Robert Iger's got his favorite ice cream place. It's called the Apple Hills Creamery. It is from New York, and they are opening up one here at Disney's Boardwalk. And I'm saying here because we are here right now, recording this. So this will be the first location for Apple Hill outside of New York. So. I don't know if ice cream travels. I don't know if they're going to ship their ice cream. They're going to put it on a JetBlue plane and send it down here?
I think they'll probably make it here.
Okay.
I would think.
But will it be the same? Because New York water makes good bagels and pizza. But can Orlando water make good ice cream?
Well, maybe.
Or Orlando cows.
Maybe they'll have to do what Via Napoli did and ship the water in from someplace else.
Actually, I think Via Napoli, I think they either ship it or they... pH balance it to Naples.
I heard they ship it in from somewhere like in Pennsylvania or someplace.
Could be. Right here at the Boardwalk, they're going to put up an Apple Hills ice cream place. They're going to have some interesting flavors. They're going to have the ooey gooey butter cake, The coffee toffee coffee. The malty salty pretzel punch. The cotton candy, and much, much more. And they're even working on a one-of-a-kind ice cream flavor developed solely and exclusively for Walt Disney World. Are they going to call it like Mickey Mouse cream?
Mickery, dickery, hickory, flickery, bickery, tickery, zickery, zippity-doo-dah-day.
Cream. So I'm excited. I do like ice cream, but you know it's interesting because now there's a lot of different ice cream places on Disney property. We got Ample Hills,
right?
We got the gelato place at Disney Springs,
right?
We got We got what's the other ice cream place at Disney Springs?
Ghirardelli's. We've got Beaches and Cream,
and there's Häagen-Dazs at Disney Springs.
That's true.
So that's three ice cream places at Disney Springs.
Right.
The Ample Hills, the Gelato Place.
Beaches and Cream.
That's their Breyers.
Right.
Typical Disney stuff. So, and you have all the gelato over at the Four Seasons. So
that's true.
There's a lot of ice cream places popping up down here.
There are. And, there's a lot of great places. Ice cream is hot.
Yeah.
Well, ice cream is cool. But, you know what I meant. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. It'll be a lot of fun. If you haven't, go check out our friends, Magic Your Band, over at magicyourband.com. If you go to the Disney Parks Podcast website, you'll see a link down on the bottom right-hand side for Magic Your Band. They have over 100 designs for you to choose from, or if you so choose, you can customize your own design. Put your name on it, your anniversary date, your honeymoon, your kids' names, maybe their names, maybe they, whatever.
Your phone number, social security number.
If the kids get lost, call.
That's right.
This number.
Right.
You know, whatever you want to put on that magic band. And then tell them the Disney Parks Podcast sent you by putting in the coupon code Disney Parks Podcast and get 10% off at checkout.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to split this one up so it'll be easy for everybody. Destination D, Amazing Adventures, celebrates the excitement of Disney's past, present, and future, from the true life adventures to Pandora, the world of Avatar. Did you hear that James Cameron went from, we're going to make two sequels, now we're going to do four, and not only that, they're going to record all of them at the same time, not at the same time, but continuously?
That's crazy.
Dude, we're never getting that Pandora. I'm telling you. He'll figure something out. He's going to retrofit something from before the first movie and go, wait, we have to put that in the park.
I want to know now, almost, like, how long, when does the construction start, and when will it be done?
Right.
Because it seems like it's been going on, like, forever.
The announcement was, gosh, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
I feel like I've been living here 6 years in July, and I feel like they've been building Pandora the entire time I've been here.
I feel like it's time for Pandora to start kindergarten.
It's time for it to get a job and get out of
that. That's right. Get a job. Get out.
Yeah.
So since Disney first brought his groundbreaking true-to-life adventures to the big screen, adventure fans have played a pivotal role in Disney entertainment. From the Jungle Cruise to Pirates of the Caribbean to the new planet of Pandora, which will soon, wink, wink, be unveiled at Disney's Animal Kingdom. This year, members of D23, the official Disney fan club, are invited to join the excitement at D23 Destination D Amazing Adventures, a celebration of these landmarks of the past, present, and the future. The two-day event will take place November 19th through the 20th in 2016 at Disney's Contemporary Resort at Walt Disney World. Presenters and panelists will include Disney legends Marty Sklar and Tony Baxter, Walt Disney Imagineers Joe Rohde, and Chris Merritt, Jason Grondel, Wyatt Winter, producer Don Hahn, from The Lion King and Beauty and the Beast, and Walt Disney Archives Director Becky Klein, plus more to be announced soon. They're also going to bring Mickey's of Glendale, the famed Walt Disney Imagineering store, is going to return with a pop-up shop at the event for the attendees. featuring a selection of exclusive Walt Disney Imagineering merchandise, as well as themed edition pins, apparel, and collectibles geared and themed for the event. So, Tony, why don't you take everybody through the highlights of Destination D this year?
And so here's some of the highlights they have going on this year. Up first will be the new Walt Disney World Adventures. From soaring around the world to rivers of light, get an insider's glimpse into the latest experiences across Walt Disney World Resort. And Disney Imagineers provide the behind-the-scenes look at these new upcoming entertainment. And really, they're not going to be upcoming because hopefully most of them will be done by November.
Here's hoping.
So hopefully they won't be upcoming. They will be
done. Yes.
And we'll just get a behind the scenes of how they put all these things together. And that's fun because it is always interesting to see how these things developed over time, because they start with plan B and, you know, they get to plan Z by the time it's actually executed. So it'll be fun to see.
They never get a plan A?
No, I don't think they do.
That's too bad.
I don't think they ever execute plan A.
It's too bad.
Next up will be Disney's Animal Kingdom, evolving a new species of theme park. Explore the origins and incredible evolution of Disney's Animal Kingdom, from early concepts to new experiences to be discovered at the new park. And I assume Joe's going to lead this conversation.
I would assume so.
I think he would be the perfect...
he should atone for the Disco Yeti, is all I've got to say.
Next up, because this will be kind of past, Magic Kingdom will be celebrating its 45th anniversary. In October. So, what they're calling this is Magic Journeys, 45 Years of Walt Disney World Adventures, celebrate the 45th anniversary of Walt Disney World Resort with a nostalgic journey through some of the Vacation Kingdom's most unique and fondly remembered adventures. And I'm sure they're going to pull out all the extinct attraction stuff that you know, we all beg for, please.
A Toad's Wild Ride, a vehicle.
If you had wings.
If you had wings, something
rocket
ships, something from Horizons.
Something from Horizons. Well, no, that wasn't in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I got carried away. Yeah.
But I like when they do that kind of stuff. I think it's always fun to see. That was warms the cockles of my heart to see the yesteryear stuff.
I'm just glad that Tony's got cockles in his heart.
Next up, we'll have a look back at Walt Disney's true life adventures. Join Disney historians on an expedition through the landmark True Life Adventure series, which earned the Disney Studio 8 Academy Awards for a television show. That is fantastic.
Yep.
Maybe Tim O'Day will be leading that conversation.
Maybe.
He's coming down.
Maybe there'll be some lemmings there. They could discuss their... You know the story about that?
No.
So in the True Life Adventure, they were talking about lemmings. They said that, you know, if one lemming jumps off the cliff, all the other ones will follow.
Yeah.
Well, they found out later on, to make it a better story, there might or might not have been someone pushing said lemmings off the cliff. And somewhere there's a story in that. You just do some research.
No.
Check the internet. It's a total internet rumor. You heard that from somebody else.
Right. The next one will be The Art and Adventure of Mark Davis. Discover the adventurous artwork of the artist, the animator, and Disney legend Mark Davis with Walt Disney Imagineering senior production designer Chris Merritt, who is authoring a new book on the Disney legend. And I will tell you, it's already on Amazon for pre-sale already.
Nice.
And you can pre-order it and go purchase it now. Maybe bring it to the session. Maybe Chris will even sign it for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you can hunt him down and pin him to a wall. And
maybe.
Take out his Sharpie and sign the damn book.
If they'll allow you.
If they'll allow you. So this weekend event will take place at the Convention Center at Disney's Contemporary Resort. Tickets will go on sale soon. Wow, really soon. This week.
April 21st. Yeah. Holy crikey.
I better get out my charge card.
That's right. Yeah, you better. At that price, you should.
Yep. D23 members are $190 for the Gold and Gold Family members.
Right.
All others will pay $250 a ticket. So
that does not include a room.
Or airfare.
Or airfare.
Or park tickets.
Or food.
Or food. So that happens this week. All guests will receive a special gift created exclusively for the event, and attendees are guaranteed seats at all panels and presentations. This is not the expo, my friends. If you buy a ticket, you will sit in a seat.
You are purchasing a seat.
I will tell you, though, the last time they did have people standing in the back, there really weren't enough seats. So I do tell people to get there a little bit earlier.
Too much of the chain.
Yeah. A limited number of Wilderness Explorer VIP tickets will be available, which will include early shopping, an exclusive evening experience on November 18th, and reserve seating for all the presentations, as well as a special gift bag with unique collectibles and much, much more.
But you must do the Wilderness Explorers call.
What's that?
call!
I'm going to guess...
Those 15, will... right?
Nah, probably around 500. It's a two-day event. If the gold members are paying $150 and the public's paying $250, they'll probably just double it, making it even five. I'll probably say around $500.
All right.
For more information about this, you can go to d23.com/events. You can check there for additional schedule announcements and things that will be coming in the future months. But if you've never been to one of these events, they are kind of fun. They are unique. You do find out a lot of history. If you're into the history and the backstory on a lot of things and, you know, why they build things the way they do and all those kind of things, it is fun to listen to. And listen, a lot of these people like Tony Baxter, Marty Sklar, you know, are getting up there in age. And, you know, I always say they're not going to be around forever.
Nope.
You know, you can only take these guys out on the road for, you know. I'm sure Alice would love Davis to come to this, but I don't think, you know, she travels a lot anymore. She used to go to all these events with Mark, and now...
The best decision I think I've made as far as a Disney fan was when we were at D23 three years ago, the one previous to the last one, I screwed up.
Yeah, whatever it was.
And they had I worked with Walt, basically, a panel. It had Sklar, and it had Alice, and it had, you know, Bob Gurr.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to sit in a room and listen to her tell those stories about meeting Walt and, you know, well, I was at dinner that night with Mark, and I'm just thinking, holy crap, I'm at dinner with my husband, who is Mark Davis, and in walks Walt Disney, and he's like, Mark, Alice, hey, and he pulls up a chair and just starts talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, just to hear that story and the magnitude of that first couple of sentences. So I wish that she was there. You know, these guys are very special. I think that if you're a Disney fan, you really need to appreciate who these people are.
Yeah. I was talking to one of the ambassadors the other night, and literally begging as much as I could, and trying to convince her as much as I could.
Right.
That I would love for one of them to come on the podcast and talk about what the ambassador program means, because these were the people that Walt hired to represent him and go to things that he could not go to.
Right.
You know, he got a lot of requests from different organizations and meetings and groups and people. Can you come and tell us about, you know, Disneyland? Can you come and tell us about Disneyland? Can you come? He couldn't be in all those places. So he hired these people, and they were called ambassadors. And it was the last program that Walt worked on, too, before he died.
Right.
And she was also telling me that Shanghai is going to have their own now. First ever Shanghai ambassador, too. So, you know, I would love for, you know, them to come on, and hopefully they will. I begged, I think, enough.
We'll see.
You will.
We'll see.
But if you can't come out for this event, because I think you'll like it. If you are a gold member, the 190 is really no brainer. I get it. It's 190. It is two full days. It is. You know, like 9 to 5 on Saturday, 9 to 5 on Sunday. And usually on Saturday night, they do some kind of event.
Right. The last one is when...
They brought back Pleasure Island.
They brought back Pleasure Island. And they also had a previous event, Dreamfinder came out.
Yes.
And sang, dressed up. With Figment.
Richard Sherman even came out one and sang.
Yeah.
I was sitting behind Richard Sherman having a conversation with him because he was in the front row. He was in row one. I was in row two. And he came in a little bit early. And I was having a little chit-chat with Richard Sherman. I didn't ask him to sign anything.
Holy crap.
I just wanted the conversation and the memory.
Wow.
You know, that I spoke to Richard Sherman and I had a conversation with him. You know, and everybody else ran up and was taking pictures and yada, yada, yada. But hey, I got to look at the back of Richard Sherman's head for a good 40 minutes before he got up on stage.
Sexy.
So, listen, you never know who you're going to meet. You will meet these people. They do walk around afterwards. And, you know, usually with no handlers. I mean, you know, he just got up and left at the end and walked out. Yeah. Who was it? It was the first ambassador that Wall hired. I walked out to the parking lot with her and had a whole conversation with her.
Wow.
I can't think of her name. I think it was Julie something off the top of my head.
Right.
But that was at a Destination D event. We were leaving the room. I was walking, and you know, I was walking next to this lady, and I kind of did like a double take. And I'm like, "Hey, are you?" She's like, "Yes, Julie." I said, "Hey, where are you going?" She goes to the valet to get my car. I said, "I'm going out that way too." I said, "Can I walk with you?" She said, "Yeah." I had a whole conversation with her on the way to the car.
Nice.
So you never know who you're going to meet and talk and bump into.
That's cool. Those moments are few and far between at Disney.
They are. So.
Well, all right. If you have listened to the show for any amount of time and appreciate what we do and would be willing to think about supporting us, we would love for you to go to patreon.com/DisneyParksPodcast. We have our Patreon page there, and basically what it is every month you choose a specific dollar amount to support the show, and it could be as little as a dollar a month, or it could be as much as you want to give per month. And we have some incredible rewards already set up for you. We've already had some Patreons be sent rewards, and the feedback that we got was it was great. They were very excited. And we love doing that for you guys, and we really appreciate the fact that you would think about supporting us. Now, that money doesn't go to Tony and myself. It goes to, you know, paying for hosting, purchasing some special items for events that we do. We have some big plans. We know that we're going to need some further resources, and that's why we decided to set up a Patreon page. So patreon.com/DisneyParksPodcast. Thank you so much for your support. And we want to thank our current Patreons, David Maruka, Stacy Miller, and Willie Walter. Thank you guys so much for supporting us each month. And we look forward to seeing you on the Patreon page very, very soon. So, Tony, summer's coming, buddy. Do you like to go to water parks?
I do, but I don't go as often. I probably should, but usually when I wind up going is in the winter, not during the summer.
Crazy, right? Well, you could do that when we're in Florida.
Because they're usually really, really crowded during the summer. And that
ridiculously crowded.
And that makes me crazy.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I usually go like in October, which is not usually the best time of year.
It depends. It gets hot in October.
It's still hot,
And you're a Disney Vacation Club member, so you should be very excited to hear that eligible DVC members can now begin to sign up for the complimentary Neighborhood Beach Bash, and there's not many of those, this summer at Disney's Typhoon Lagoon Water Park. Disney Vacation Club, or DVC, Neighborhood Beach Bash returns in 2016 after a successful debut in the summer of 2015. Now, this three-hour nighttime event allows members to enjoy exclusive access to Disney's Typhoon Lagoon from 9:30 p.m. until 12:30 a.m. on select nights. Now, it's one thing to go to the lagoon during the day, and it's all hot, and there's a lot of people around. It's a whole different animal to go at night. There's not that many people there, so you got a nice warm night, nice cool water underneath the stars. Maybe there's a full moon, and at 9:15, you can hear the fireworks from Epcot, so it's awfully nice. So this event is scheduled to run on the following nights: Thursday, June 23rd, Wednesday, June 29th, Wednesday, July 6th, and Wednesday, July 13th. Now, the event features access to most of the water park attractions, wink, wink, and a DJ dance party with complimentary refreshments and so much more. Reservations are required. I got excited about the DJ voice. Reservations are required, and capacity is limited. So on Friday, April 8th, which that date's already passed, reservations will be open for guests. So if you're a DVC member, pause the podcast, go online now, and get your free free reservation. Reservations are open for guests who have a reservation at a Walt Disney World Resort or at Disney's Vero Beach Resort. Also, eligible are members with Disney Cruise Line reservations via Port Canaveral the day before or after the beach bash. If dates are not reached, if those dates do not reach capacity, then the reservations are going to open up for all members on Friday, April 22nd. To reserve, make sure you contact your Disney Vacation Club member services.
Yeah, and why they're saying the April 22nd date is because you have to be staying at Walt Disney World on your DVC points to go to this party. This is not one of those anybody with a DVC.
Right.
So what they're saying is if they haven't reached capacity on April 22nd, any local like me who has a DVC can then sign up. And maybe I need to call on April 22nd after I've spent $190 on April 21st at my D23. I'll just hang up one phone and pick up the other phone and call. All right, I'm done with D23. Time to call DVC.
It's like Van Halen said, man, they got you coming in. They got you going out.
Hey, last week we had a contest winner, and that was Troy. I don't think I have Troy's address to send him something. So, Troy, send us an email at DisneyParksPodcast at gmail.com, and we will, with your address, obviously, so that we can send you out something.
You happy to remember the trivia question?
I don't.
Oh, what?
No, it was the Big Dig pool. How much water?
How much water in the in the Big Blue?
Yeah, no, the
Big Dig.
Yeah, Coronado Springs.
Oh, okay.
270,000 gallons of water.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was the first person to come in with the correct answer. I don't think we'll do it this week. We'll take a pass this week, but you know what? Maybe I will. What I'll do is go to the blog this week again. I'll post it on the blog sometime this week. I'll post a question there. So if you are listening, just head over to the blog, DisneyParksPodcast.com, and I'll post it there. It'll be question number 3, and we'll post it over there. For those Walt Disney World goers, they finally have changed the entire FastPass system slightly to make it normal, may I say.
Wink, wink.
As normal as they can make it without setting it back to the old way. So you no longer are stuck with this, you know, Chinese menu of one from column A and one from column B, or one from column A and two from column C.
Right.
You now can get three fast passes of your choosing. You can even get them in three different parks where you can park hop.
Crazy.
You know, if you had a park hopper ticket and you couldn't park hop because you couldn't get multiple fast passes, you can now finally do that. That is, I think, something that's long awaited. You can also then, I don't think you have to wait until all three are gone now in order to get a new one. I think one drops off. I think you can go back in and make the other one. The other thing they changed too was once you want to get a new FastPass, you don't have to go to a kiosk. You can now do it from your app,
right?
Which is key. So I think they're going to close up most of, if not all, the FastPass kiosk in the park. I think what they're going to do is kind of go back to the old way where they had, you know, just a few in the guest relations area in the opening of each park.
Makes sense.
I think that's where they're going to go because, A, that's a lot of kiosk. That was a lot of cast member manpower. There was always a line. Which was silly. You were waiting in a line so that you didn't have to wait in a line. It was like from the office of redundancy, you know.
Yeah, see redundant under redundant.
Yeah, right. So there's a lot of those changes coming. And the only way to get these changes is you have to get a new version of the app on your phone, Android or iPhone or whatever version of the app you're using. Yep. Make sure that you get the latest updated version. Go to whatever Google store or iTunes store or whatever, and make sure that you download the new version of the My Disney Experience app. That's the only way to get these updates. I think it's a long time away. For me, this is step one in a better program. I still think there are a lot more improvements that they could do to the FastPass program.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
But this is at least a step in the right direction. You know, they rolled it out. They really make a lot of changes. And I think now they're finally making some changes.
Right.
They've finally recognized that, you know, things needed to be changed.
Yeah. So. And, you know, it's
just in time for summer.
Right. And it's an emerging technology. And they're really leading the forefront on it. Taking a lot of things on the chin. I know I give Disney a lot of crap. Some of it deservedly so, but they are trying really hard to make the technology work. Now, we can sit and argue and debate the reasons that they're doing this. Mm-hmm. Is this a money saving? No, because they've spent a crap ton of money on it. But, you know, ultimately, I think it's going to make for a very, very more enjoyable experience once we get through the initial hurt and pain of learning how to deal with the My Disney Experience. Mm. And what I'm going to talk about in just a second is going to really dovetail perfectly into that.
Yeah.
But I think once everything comes down to the system is tweaked out and they could make better, quicker, you know, changes on the fly, because that's really the biggest thing. I mean, you know, the kiosk is important because they're changing a lot. First gen iterations of this, like if you made a change, you lost all your fast passes.
Right.
That happened to a lot of people. So I think this is much better. This feels a little bit more organic to us because we're used to, you go get your couple of fast passes and then you use one, or within an hour you can go to another one. This just makes more sense to people who are used to it. But there's a whole generation of people who have, this is their only experience with fast passes. So,
and there was one key thing I actually just thought of too. With the new version of the app, is you can now go in and change a dining reservation without calling the reservation center.
Right.
You can change the restaurant, or you can change the time.
Right.
And that is key, because those poor people on the 407 WDW Dine, that was, somebody was saying, most of their phone calls was people trying to change mm-hmm. a reservation
mm-hmm.
because they couldn't do it on their app.
Right.
So now, I don't know what those people are doing.
they're taking irate customer calls from, you know...
from me, my...
Yeah, the my Tony Castanova line.
My super's cold.
Right.
So that is a killer, because there are a lot of times I made a reservation and they go, you know, I'd like to add somebody.
Right.
Or I'd like to, you know, see maybe I would get a little later time. Or, you know, maybe now I got a larger group. Can I go at a different restaurant? And I always had a call. And that was, you know, and then when you called, you'd say, all right, can you try this restaurant?
Right.
Can you try this restaurant? Now, at least I can do it on my app or do it online even.
Right.
That's the other key thing too. Right. So that was key.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the next step is kind of what I'm going to talk about. You know, we all wear magic bands, and, you know, Disney says that, magic bands are on the arm of over millions of people are coming to Walt Disney World, and we're all wearing magic bands, which gives us access to our fast passes, our hotel rooms, and we can even link it to credit cards. At the Walt Disney World Company's other theme park, guests are going to hopefully soon, someday, enjoy similar convenience, but it's not going to be a magic band, which is an added expense for Disney. It's going to be through our phones, our smartphones. So instead of having to use a magic band flicking our wrist, look at them flicking their wrist, they're going to put it just on our phone. We're going to scan our phone, which makes tech people like Tony and myself go, g'day.
Yeah.
You know, it's about time.
Right.
So, real quick, a magic band is basically a RFID microchip embedded bracelet that serves as your park ticket, your credit card, hotel key, fast pass holder, and is featured in the My Magic Plus program that debuted in 2013. Its ever-evolving smartphones, however, can perform similar functions in other parks, and even better, than the Magic Band. So Disney Chief Executive Officer Bob Iger told stockholders at Disney Shanghai Resort they will not be distributing bands when it opens in June. The $1 billion My Magic Plus, which includes the My Disney Experience website and app, and the ability to reserve rides up to 2 months in advance, continues evolving. And so this past couple weeks ago, changes went into effect to make ordering fast passes more efficient. That's what Tony was talking about. So what's going to happen is Disney is going to start slowly evolving out of using Magic Bands here at Walt Disney World, and the other parks around the world are going to start employing the phones. And it only makes sense.
It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. And the you know, when you get down to it, the thing that's important is my biggest beef has been the security. I don't want to link credit cards to my Magic Band because I don't know if it's that secure. But if my park ticket is available to be in my phone, not that my phone is super secure, but my phone is more secure, I think, because I control it. I could put my park ticket there. I could put credit cards with Apple Pay or Google Pay. And then everything that I would need is right there. So I'm much more excited about this because I'm not a big fan of the Magic Bands. Not that I don't love my Magic Bands, MagicYourBands.com. I just don't like wearing Magic Bands, you know, and I normally carry a card anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
My Magic Band's always in my pocket.
Right. Right. So, you know, Disney is looking ahead. I think once they get all the Magic Band stuff figured out here, how long do you think it's going to be before Disney finally scraps it and says no more Magic Bands, everything's going on smartphones here at Walt Disney World?
Oh, it'll probably be 2 years or more.
You think?
Yeah. Because I think they'll shake out the bugs in Shanghai. And I think if they're going to then roll it out somewhere else, it's going to be in Disneyland before it ever gets
right.
Out. So we'll stick with bands for a while. Do it in Shanghai, go to Disneyland because they got nothing. You know, they don't have any band or fast pass problems yet. I think they're the next place that'll get the band, and then it'll come back to us.
So what do you think
Disney... So we'll get the third
right.
version of
so,
it.
So what do you think Disney's going to do? Because Magic Bands are a source of revenue.
Sure.
You know, you think they'll scrap the idea, or you think they'll still do Magic Bands just for the sake of having them? You think?
Yeah. Listen, they'll make that up in premium parking, extra magic mornings, extra magic evenings, whatever you want to call it, John. Whatever the next...
Daily resort fees.
Yeah, daily resort fee. Listen, there's a way for them to make that up. And I don't think that's a pot of gold for them. Right. No, it's revenue.
Right.
But I don't think it's a pot of gold.
Speaking of crazy revenue, did I tell you the story about the family... over at Animal Kingdom this past weekend?
No.
So as we record this is happening the week after Star Wars Dark Side Half Marathon weekend. Mm. So there was a family. Now, they were not staying on points. No, they were not staying on... Well, maybe they were. Doesn't matter. They're staying over at DVC at Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Family of five. So the mom calls down to the front desk and says, "Hey, I got five people here. I need some more towels." Not a problem. Oh, and by the way, we're going to need like a whole nother set of soap, conditioner, you know, hand soap, because I got kids and there's five of us in the room here. Okay, not a problem. That's just going to be a charge of $5. And the mom lost her mind. Rightfully so, because here to four.
For towels and soap.
Towels free, but for soap... You know, we've never been charged for soap. But there's a lot of people who, when they come to the resorts, they get bags and bags and bags and stuff. You know, they take what's in the room normally, but they just keep asking for more and more and more because they want to take it home. But then the lady said, "Well, ma'am, you're more than welcome to go to the gift shop and buy..." They've got big, you know, containers of it that you can purchase at $20 a container, or however much it is. And I just thought that was the craziest thing. Disney's never charged. You know, then flash forward... Park Hopper Sid goes, same resort, bumps into one of the people working, redoing the rooms, one of the housekeeping, and says, "Hey, can I get a set of soap and everything. We got five people in a room. And she's like, oh, absolutely. And gives her a handful of stuff. Bag full of stuff. Hmm. Just really depends on who you talk to.
Yeah. You know, I think, well, if you are doing DVC, you only get housekeeping like every 3 days.
Right. And they said on the third day when they refresh, you get another set.
So there is a charge if you want more towels and more soap. And they do tell you that in the room.
Really?
Yeah, there is a thing that says, you know, your housekeeping day is such and such. If you need these items, there is an additional charge. So,
but if you have four towels and you've got five people, what are you going to do? Somebody's got to use a towel again?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crap. Why would you do that at home?
I'm going to tell you the trick. You go down to the pool and you get as many towels as you want and you bring them back to your room. That's what everybody does.
That's crap.
That's what DVC people do. That's what I do when I'm staying at a DVC. I usually go down to the pool. When I'm down at the pool, I usually grab a handful of towels and take them back to the room. I got fresh towels until the housekeeping lady comes.
Wow.
That's how you get towels.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what you do when you're DVC. You have a washer dryer. You wash them and you dry them.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Well, that makes sense.
So, there you go.
Yeah, but if you've got five people and you got four towels.
You wash them and you dry them. And you got as much towels as you need.
So, I'm going to go to the parks with my family. I get back from the Magic Kingdom at 11:45 at night. We're all stinky. We're all sweaty.
Go down to the pool. Grab an extra towel.
No. No, I'm just processing through this without having to go to the pool part. So we've got four towels, five kids, or five people.
There should be more. If there's two bathrooms, there's usually enough towels.
Yeah.
If you're staying in a studio, it only sleeps four. So there's an extra body that doesn't belong there. Somebody, there's an extra body somewhere. If you're in a one bedroom, that sleeps four or whatever.
Right.
If you're in a two bedroom, that sleeps plenty.
Right.
You should have two bathrooms. There should be enough towels.
Yeah. Now contrast that with I'm not in a DVC resort here at Disney's Boardwalk.
Well, then,
you walk into my bathroom and there are six towels.
I don't know what to say. Like if you go to Pop Century.
Oh, God.
There are only four towels.
Yeah. But Pop Century, you can get towels really easy. The housekeeping people just leave their cards out. Just go grab a towel. Oh, thank you. Think I need a towel. All right.
Hey, moving on. Moving on to our friends over at the Four Seasons. They have a bunch of great events coming up. And listen, I tell you every time on this podcast, if you've never been there and you're coming to Walt Disney World, just go there. Just go there for lunch. Go there and walk around. Go there for a cup of coffee. They got a great coffee
place. Heck yeah.
I mean, all right, it closes at 4 o'clock, but they have great gelato, great donuts, and great coffee. And go check out the resort. Just walk around. Just go to the front desk and say, can you show me around? Show me which after all. They will be glad to do it.
Yep.
So they have a bunch of events coming up. One of my favorite things coming up is PB&G, which is Pool Bar and Grill. Not what you would think.
Peanut butter and jelly?
It's not peanut butter and jelly. Grill. And it's Pool Bar and Grill. They are going to be now doing dinner served on Wednesday nights through Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And they will be featuring
didgeridoo lessons? Awesome!
They'll be featuring dishes such as the Ahi Tuna Nachos.
Oh, this is so good.
That is good. The Chopped Seafood Cobb Salad.
Mm.
That is good. The coffee-crusted rotisserie ribeye.
Good stuff. Had that.
The smokehouse burger and much, much more. So this is a great place. This is out by the pool. It is not air-conditioned, but they do have fans. So if it is really super hot and sticky out at night, I can't guarantee you air conditioning. I can't guarantee you anything. But there is a nice bar. You certainly can get some drinks, and you can have a good meal. They're going to have lots of good stuff out there. So that's number one. The Kentucky Derby is coming up. So they're having an event called Jockeys and Juleps. So this will be taking place also at PB&G. And this will be on Saturday, May 7th at the Four Seasons. This will start at 12 noon to 8 p.m. So go out. You can enjoy the races and enjoy the whole festivities they have to offer over there. And let me just get to...
Oh, the cool thing about that is they're doing a hat contest, right?
Yes, they're having a derby hat contest, and the person with the best derby hat will receive 10% off on their bill. So that'll be good. And I would call them and make reservations, and we'll post the number for that. I would definitely call them and make reservations because, and folks will find out the pricing. It is a fixed price thing for the entire day.
Totally worth. That's the best way, man.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, if you haven't been over to Plancha for lunch, that's another great place for lunch over there. And Kappa is taking Tables in Wonderland, which is their Spanish steakhouse. They have Wagyu beef, I think, still on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some the Barista Boot Camp, where you can learn how to go make coffee. I've been to that event. It is the woman in charge of the Lickety Split is a walking encyclopedia of coffee.
She's amazing.
I've never met a woman that's got more knowledge about coffee than this woman. And I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but I really encourage you to go out and do that. So that's it. That's what we got for this week. Anything else we need to talk about, John?
No, I don't think so. Just make sure you come over to Twitter or Facebook. Twitter is Disney Podcaster.
Yes.
Facebook.com/Disney Parks Podcast. Please visit the website, DisneyParksPodcast.com. You can send us an email at DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com. And make sure you hit us up on Patreon, patreon.com/DisneyParksPodcast.
Yep. And as we say around here, we'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.